What do you think we'll find at the end, lover?
Hopefully a way out.
And if not?
Then we make one. We got enough plast to crack the moon.
True enough.
Then Christie settled in to watch the surface of the water for any suspicious movements. For almost an hour, the LAV rolled and floated along the flooded tunnel, the headlights never revealing anything but the endless brick walls. Once, the water surface rose to a dangerous level as the machine dipped into a depression of some kind. Breaking to a halt, Ryan waited for the waves to calm until the submerged headlights revealed they were in what resembled a blast crater, or a pothole, about 10 yards wide. Then the LAV floated slowly to the surface once more, and they kept going. Advancing cautiously, Ryan held his breath, waiting for the water to rush in through the gun ports, when the front tires grabbed onto the floor of the tunnel, and the LAV lifted out of the hollow, back to a safe position. Lowering their speed, Ryan breathed a sigh of relief. Then the LAV tilted slightly to the left.
We aren't rolling!
Christie looked at the dashboard controls. The blinking indicators threw a rainbow across her worried features.
So, how can we...
The sound came from under the heavy machine, and the right side of the LAV listed, the choppy water rising to slosh against the windows. Ryan stomped on the gas pedal.
The floor is crumbling! Fire blasts were too heavy! Gotta get clear of this crater! Hold on!
The Detroit's power plant roared with power, and the LAV violently lurched forward to miraculously right itself. But then, behind them, a huge air bubble broke the surface of the water. Clenching the steering yoke tightly, Ryan revved the engine to the max. Whether or not the blast from the Hummer had weakened the floor of the tunnel, or if it was merely the weight of the LAV, it seemed clear that the pre-dark tunnel was crumbling apart, and triple fast. Ryan knew that their one hope was to get clear of the weakened area before the sheer tonnage of the war wag started a chain reaction of destruction. The LAV could float, but it couldn't fly, and with the water gone, they would drop along with the rest of the debris into whatever lay below. Suddenly, the speedometer shook, and Ryan saw that the wag was slowing, but the engine was at full power. Christie stared in horror out the side window.
Keep moving! Don't stop for anything!
That's when Ryan saw that the water level outside was dropping fast, moving toward the struggling machine, the current battering them to a virtual standstill. The blast crater had to have weakened the concrete bed, and their weight had finished the job. The entire tunnel was collapsing. A falling brick bounced off the hood, and then something crashed onto the roof. A building wave of water swamped the machine, shoving it backward in spite of the 8 desperately spinning tires. More bricks fell in a sledgehammer cacophony, and Ryan fought to keep the wag traveling straight. If the LAV turned sideways, they would be helpless. Reaching over to the controls, Christie turned on the propellers, and the LAV surged forward again, gaining precious yards.
If we could just outlast the flood, we'll be fine. Come on, you nuking piece of tin shit! Move!
But the backwash kept increasing in volume and force until it was more than the war wag could handle. Slowly, the LAV was forced into the crater until the rear dipped as the back wheels went over the rim. Then the next pair of tires followed, and the next.
Fire the rear claymores! All of them! Maybe that'll shove us forward!
The idea was crazy, but with no other choice, Ryan decided to take the gamble and reached for the arming switch. But before he could, the LAV flipped over sideways as a section of the weakening brickwork dropped away completely. Everybody was shoved hard against their safety belts, and loose items went tumbling. Now at the mercy of the rampaging flood, the wag slid directly into the hole and turned over again, leaving the companions upside down. As they desperately grabbed their seatbelts tightly, they were brutally pelted by grins and food packs from every direction.
Ah!
Jack threw back his head and went limp in his seat, blood on his face. Something slammed into the side of the LAV, and a tire loudly exploded. There came another strident collision, and the bulletproof front window shattered. The explosion of shards cutting both Ryan and Christie. Moss-covered bricks and muddy water poured into the wag, smothering the companions, sloshing to the rear. A headlight smashed, casting the interior into darkness. Then the world seemed to completely drop away, and the armored wag began to wildly bounce down a series of widening cracks, plummeting into a rocky darkness that seemed to have no end. With both of her hands tied behind her back, Lily Rogan came awake, fighting for breath. Something kept punching her in the belly, making it almost impossible to drag in air. Forcing open her tearing eyes, the girl saw only rushing ground in front of her face, and just for a moment thought she was falling. Then Lily realized that she was actually moving sideways above the soil. This was a bike, she thought in alarm. She was strapped to the rear of a racing two-wheeler. So why was there no sound coming from the big machines? Suddenly, foulness seemed to well inside the woman. Her brothers were using pre-dark tech? Slavery, chilling, rape, these were things she could accept. That was just the way of the Deathlands. But using tech was unforgivable. Lily dimly remembered hearing stories from her elders how science had brought down the nuke storm of Skydark and destroyed the world. Afterward, howling mobs of civvies had chased down every traitorous whitecoat that could be found and brutally nailed them to crosses, then set fire to the dirty libraries and labs. But now her brothers were using tech? It was beyond belief. Clearly, they had finally gone insane. The bike hit a bump, slamming the girl against the fender. In raw horror, Lily focused on the spinning tire only inches away, a cold dread filling her veins at the thought of her hair getting caught in the spokes. If her flailing hair became entangled in the wheel, her face would be pulled into the wheel and quickly removed. Or worse, the hair would rip off her scalp and she would die of blood loss. But not quickly. She once saw a person die that way when a sticky attacked them from behind. It had taken the screeching man a long hour to finally buy the fawn. Twisting her head to the side, Lily found that she could keep her flying hair away from the deadly spokes of the wheel. It also was easier to take a breath. Straining against her bonds, the bruised girl took in ragged breaths until the last of the fog left her beleaguered mind. Trying to rock to the motion of the jouncing bike, Lily fought to maintain her balance and stay alive. If her bonds loosened, she would fall under the two-wheeler and be crushed to death. Lashed into this position, a prisoner had to fight to stay alive, with no chance to think about escape. She was trapped, bound, and helpless, captured alive by her crazy brothers. Slowly, the land below Lily changed from sand to grass. Were they heading into the forest? But that was full of muties. A dip in the ground rammed the fender into her aching torso, slammed her against the cargo pod. At first, she flinched from the contact, but soon understood that the cargo pod was all that was keeping her on the fender, and finally allowed herself to lean against it fully. Unknown amounts of time passed. Starving, queasy, bruised, and barely able to breathe, Lily was starting to hallucinate about her childhood. With the death of her father, his slut of a woman had gone to work at the local gaudy house with obvious delight. Try as she might, Lily simply couldn't understand that. But some women seemed to love being treated like an animal. It was beyond comprehension. And with her growing physical beauty, the young girl Lily was doomed to the same fate. It was only everyone's fear of her four mad brothers that kept her out of the life. No man alive would risk the terrible wrath of the Rogan boys by daring to touch their little sister. Suddenly the bike banked sharply and mercifully began to slow. Soon, her torment stopped as the machine came to a complete halt. Craning up her head, Lily dragged in great lungfuls of air and waited for the world to stop spinning from the riotous ride. There was some sort of sharp stink coming off the engine, not the reek of shine or the weird smell of pre-dark juice or anything else that she could identify. It almost smelled like wet dirt after lightning had struck the ground. Did the wag use lightning as fuel? Was that possible? What disgusting tech was being used to befoul the world now? Ever so slowly, the black spots faded from her sight, and Lily felt her heart cease to pound. That was when the pain returned to her temple, and she remembered the slaughter at the watering hole. Friends and customers torn into pieces by the fancy rapid fires held by her brothers. Slack faces looking into eternity from every table, blood flowing like the tears of the world. Forcing away those useless thoughts, Lily raised her head to hesitantly look around. Let the dead bury the dead. Her task was to stay alive and not join them. The other three bikes were parked nearby, the riders out of sight. The ground was covered with green grass, and there were trees forming a sort of wall around the clearing. Off to the side was a large boulder with a small waterfall splashing out of the side to form a pond. Could that be natural? Probably not. Just more nuke-sucking tech. She could feel it in her bones. This was a place of foulness worse than any rad pit. The muddy bank was thick with reeds and flowers. There were some insects flying about the plants, and a frog. Past the boulder, there seemed to be some sort of a concrete building, but Lily couldn't see that far behind, the cargo pods of the two-wheelers blocking the way. Was this their spread? As Lily watched, two of her brothers strode into view, those fancy rapid-fires strapped across their backs. Now Lily noticed there was a gap in the trees, and the two men moved some cut bushes to cover the opening, then lashed wire between two trees to hold the uprooted shrubbery in place. It really didn't seem like much of a gate, and she doubted that it would stop a howler or a sticky. Then Lily blinked at the brutal realization that the barrier wasn't meant to keep folks out, but to keep a captive in. Just then a shadow cut off the sun, and she looked up to see only a dark outline.
Okay, get off.
I can't, my hand.
John slashed out with a knife, and the rawhide strips binding her wrists easily parted. Completely helpless, Lily slid off the fender and hit the ground sprawling. Her legs splayed wide, the skirt hitching up to her waist, exposing her lack of underwear.
Motherfucker. That little bitch is open for biz.
Lily quickly lowered her skirt and closed her trembling knees. She struggled into a submissive kneeling position, but kept her face turned down, knowing the only way out of this was total obedience. Death would set her free, but the path to that escape was filled with more pain than she could accept. The price was too high to pay. Sheathing his knife, John grabbed Lily by the hair and pulled her up to face the sun. Noon? No, it was afternoon, she realized. Almost evening. Wherever this was, it was very far from Dempster. No hope of the Ville Sec men coming to rescue her then, even if any of them were still alive. Blinking against the pain, Lily tried to keep a neutral expression. Obey. Obey their every command and live. She knew there was no other choice. John released his grip.
Ah, little sister too groggy to party. Too damn ugly, too. Must be part muty, I bet.
Lily said nothing, accepting the insult. John wiped a hand on his shirt as if she were diseased.
Okay, bitch. Get moving and start cooking dinner. We're gonna take naps now, in shifts, so don't do anything stupid. Because at least one of us will hear it. Comprendo?
Yes, sir.
Lily rose stiffly to her bare feet.
At least she knows her proper place.
Then the three Rogans strolled across the grass and into the concrete building. As the iron door closed, Lily cast a furtive glance at the row of sleek motorcycles, but raw fear put an end to her thoughts about jacking a ride. What should she do? What could she do? The obvious answer was to get busy cooking. Lily found wood and a bucket of water, along with cans of food such as she had never seen. She couldn't read the words, but the pictures were clear enough. One showed what looked like beef stew, and another can illustrated whole white potatoes, plus coffee, sugar. This was chow for a baron, a fortune in pre-dark food. Where had they gotten such things? Thank goodness no tech was involved here. Building a blaze, Lily got some water boiling for coffee and started the stew simmering, stirring the food with a green stick after peeling off the bark. Going to fetch some water from the pool, Lily passed near one of the machines.
What the hell?
Almost instantly, the door to the building was thrown open, and John exited. There was a ready blaster held in his hand, and he clicked back the hammer of the massive wheel gun. A single glance from the furious man sent Lily scurrying back to the cook fire.
Don't fucking touch those box. Got it?
Dumbly, she nodded in submission. After a few moments, he went back and closed the door again. As the day wore on, Lily stole a few spoons of the stew to ease her stabs of hunger. When evening arrived, she did her best to keep the stew and coffee from burning. Her brothers would want lots to eat when they woke up. Hopefully, they wouldn't have her for dessert. Hunching her shoulders, Lily grabbed a fistful of warm ashes and rubbed it into her hair, then smeared dirt across her pretty features. Then she bit a lip and smeared the blood about. The less attractive she looked, the better. Eventually night came, and the usual storm clouds covered the stars. With the moon behind a flat-top mesa on the horizon, the wooden glen was blanketed in darkness, the only source of light coming from the campfire, and some twinkling red dots on the curved dashboards of the sleek ebony wags. Hoarding the small supply of wood, Lily banked the flames and did her best to nurse the blaze along, adding water to the stew when needed, and finally throwing away the old coffee to make a new batch. There was more than enough, so they shouldn't miss a handful wasted. Or would they? Finally, the door to the blockhouse swung open, and the four men walked out of the building. John pulled off his belt, starting to wrap it around his scarred fist.
Now we're gonna have a little chat with you about trying to jack that bike.
Backing away from the crackling fire, Lily pressed her face into her hands and began to weep, knowing the night of pain was only just beginning.